This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Les Moonves out at CBS. The shocking new sexual abuse allegations. Plus, Nicki Minaj and Cardi B throw down at New York Fashion Week. A Cosby Show actor shamed. Find out how Hollywood came to the rescue. And of course, Trump is on a mission to unmask the New York Times op-ed bandit. All that and more on Meet the Hollywood Press for September 9th, 2018. I'm Alina Vision, and now your host of Meet the Hollywood Press, Joseph Capsch.
Happy Sunday, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of Meet the Hollywood Press. Welcome back after a Labor Day week that we took off. Alina, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Glad to be back. There's so much in the news.
There's so much popping, so we're going to get right to it. Joining us today on Meet the Hollywood Press is Itai Hodt, senior entertainment reporter at The Wrap. Welcome back, Itai.
Thank you.
This is maybe like your third?
Maybe fourth.
Yeah, fourth. We love it. Well, thank you for coming back. Merle Ginsberg, entertainment journalist extraordinaire.
Thank you. I think this is my third.
Third, yeah. Yours, like, definitely repeat. I shouldn't say offenders, repeat. repeat appearances. Anyway, Les Moonves. We got to dive right in because I really want to make sure we can cover all this. So, CBS CEO Les Moonves is out. All reports pointed to the fact that he's going to leave without severance, and then the investigation into all the sexual allegations is going to proceed before they actually close the deal on an exit package for him. Okay, so this broke this morning. Ronan Farrow, again, a blockbuster article after the first article. Six more women, and in a very detailed fashion, almost, I want to say, Harvey Weinstein-esque allegations. So I'm going to start with my first question here. Do we think that he is going to get this payout? Because there's a lot of Time's Up has come out now and really said he should not walk away. Rachel Bloom, who's on the network, has come out with a really strong tweet. He needs to get nothing and go away. Itai, what do we think?
I think she used the F word before that.
She did, yes.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I have to say, when I first saw the accusations in the first piece, I thought, ooh, this is really bad. I don't know how he's going to survive this. And I didn't think he was going to. But this is Les Moonves. He's definitely one of the most powerful people in Hollywood.
Yeah.
One of the most, if not the most powerful person to have been accused throughout the Me Too movement. So I think that's one of the reasons why he was able to sort of stay on the job for all this time. But I don't see how after these accusations, which you're right, I think they... When you read them, they definitely sound very Harvey Weinstein.
Well,
very
they were
vindictive.
Just,
very, it's just
he
horrifying.
Shoved a woman against a wall.
It was graphic, and not even just like lower, not even just mid-level employees and underlings, but like some actually, like the woman he worked at Lorimar with,
yes,
the fellow executive, like. Like, shocking. Like, my jaw was literally open when I was reading this. I also felt it got so graphic. Like, did we need to know that he wears Calvin Klein underwear? And where do you get them?
I think the reason why we need to know it is because when you report on these... No, there's
it
a reason why. When you report...
Yeah,
when you report on these Me Too stories, and when I've done some of the reportings on these stories, you want as many details as possible to show that... those details are what sort of makes it more credible. So,
and the detail when they ask people for corroboration, in other words, and she told her husband at the time, he corroborates.
Yes.
That, lawyers definitely do that.
Merle, did you think when the first article came out about the allegations that he was going to survive this?
I actually did. Mostly because CBS has been the number one network for many, many years. They've yeah. made the most money. He chose Stephen Colbert and James Corden, who are the biggest people in their time slots. And, yeah. you know, he had Chuck Lorre, who did
Two and a Half Men.
Like, that guy's a moneymaker. He's made good choices. It may not be something that we necessarily want to watch. And it's always appealed to older people. CBS.
Yes.
They're known for that. So I thought, you know, Hollywood cares more about money than doing the right thing.
Yeah.
But this rise up of women, and Ronan Farrow is like a one-man band these people down. When I read the story today, that was the end of it. But I actually thought he'd survive. Maybe he'd get, you know, have to take half a year off or something like that.
Yeah.
No, I knew. As soon as I read that article, I think
the
I texted you.
No,
I texted you. I told you he's not going to survive the day.
I stand corrected because when we talked, I mean, I was actually, like, when the first article came, I literally thought he was going to survive it. I did. I thought there was going to be some way and there was going to be restitution made. Like, he's donating this much money to the victims' fund. He's going to go through training, but, like, some kind of break from
that.
But I did think he was going to survive it. The second, as soon as I read this morning, I was like, no way. This is done. And then we were like chatting over, you know, about the show.
We were texting. I said he's not going to survive the 24 hours.
He's not going to survive the day. Mm-hmm. What was your first reaction?
My first reaction, and I think we talked about it the last time you were on, correct?
Yes.
Was that he wasn't going to survive the first time. And then when we saw this article come out today, it was like the final nail in the coffin, especially having to deal with his package that was, you know, going to be awarded to him. Awarded, I guess you could say, upon his departure. I want to bring up, because you talked about Rachel Bloom. We actually have her tweet.
Yeah, let's take a look at that.
So let's pull that up. She says, as an employee of CBS, I would just like to say that Les Moonves should be fired without getting a effing dollar. Yeah. Exactly. The actions described in this article are those of sexual assault and shame on anyone else who in the corporation knew about his crimes.
Which we know they did.
Yes.
Which is exactly what's going to bring me to my next thing. More troubling in the New Yorker article is that the one victim came forward to the LAPD months ago, and they launched a criminal investigation, and he told quote-unquote half the board members, didn't tell the other half, but then was kept on to run the company.
Yep.
I mean, to me, it's like, is the board going to be shucked too? Because, I mean,
there's going to be a reckoning over at CBS right now.
Yeah.
Not to mention, you need to understand, he's been at CBS since 1995, the head of CBS since 2006, which means everyone who's on in a high position at CBS right now was put there by Les Moonves.
Yes.
All of them are going to see their jobs, a lot of them.
So is it our opinion? I mean, it is my opinion that they need a house cleaning, like, there. Because
certainly
even
of the board.
Of the board. But then also, so the most recent reporting has Joseph Iannello, who was like a hand-picked, like, executive from Les to take over, at least in the interim, as the CEO.
Here's the thing. Before these accusations, everyone was talking about how Joe Iannello is very well-liked within CBS, has been at the helm of CBS, shepherding this very successful turn at CBS. They've been number one 15 out of the last 16 years. The problem he's going to have right now is that he's too close to Les Moonves.
Yes.
And these accusations are so bad that I don't see how he's going to survive it either. And I should mention one more thing. Julie Chen's future at CBS
I think she's going to resign. I don't think they're going to give her the opportunity to resign because
she's not going to be able to survive this either. And I have to tell you, that whole Janet Jackson story that I'm sure we're going to be talking about, the one that broke, that Yashar Ali from the Huffington Post,
one of my favorite reporters.
There's a clip that he just resurfaced, which is, I encourage everyone to check it out. It's the talk. They talk about, Julie Chen talks about the whole Janet Jackson fiasco.
Oh, I want to see it.
And in that clip, she sort of mentions some of the details that Yashar broke, in which she claims, she talks about the whole Justin Timberlake
apologized,
Janet Jackson did not, and that's why her career went south, whereas his
flourished. He came back to the Super Bowl. I told you this in an email, that I am writing a book with the man, his name is Wayne Scott Lucas, who was the stylist that day when the wardrobe malfunction happened. And the book isn't all about that.
It's, but still,
it's like Hollywood Babylon all over again. It's really hilarious. But basically, it ruined his career, too.
Yes.
And it was all Justin Timberlake's idea. It was.
It really, but what was supposed to show? I mean,
so a piece of red fabric.
Just a piece of red, and so it all came off.
When he took it off, apparently it all. So we should talk about this. Explain to the viewers who may not have.
In a second. Well, let me, because before we skip to the Janet Jet, because that article was a blockbuster. But just to back up here about the executive for a second, why are they not going to hire a woman? I mean, is there any better restitution for this? And, like, mea culpa to the entire industry.
If Nina Tesler was still there as number two, she would be taking over. It's such a shame that she left.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that...
They could bring her back.
To me, this level of insanity of, like, put a woman in charge.
Right.
There's no better, like, idea to this, like, to sort of...
And there are certainly enough really qualified women who deserve that spot.
Nina Tesler being absolutely...
That's my plea to CBS, not that, you know, but it's just, like, hire a woman. Hire a woman
to
take
the spot.
Let's
start a campaign.
Let's start a campaign.
Yes, people have the power.
It's true. Okay, so Janet Jackson. So for viewers and listeners, Yashira Lee, reporter who writes for The New York Magazine and also Huffington Post, follow him on Twitter if you don't, actually.
Amazing.
He's amazing. He broke a story this week that in the wake of, you know, of Janet Jackson's Super Bowl fiasco, that Les Moonves was so incensed by all of that that he set out to, like, ruin her in whatever way that he possibly could.
Well, remember it cost them a lot of money that the FCC came down on them?
Yeah.
They had
about half a million dollars.
But the interesting part of this is now knowing that this man, assuming these allegations are all true, and I mean, where there's smoke, there's fire. I think it's usually if you're up to almost 10 different, like, what are we talking here?
12.
12. It's to be so incensed by a woman's breast, but here, you know, you're forcibly kissing women.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm sorry, Les, you were offended by her breasts, but
No, he wasn't offended. He was just angry that he looked bad.
Yeah,
right?
Pretty much. But it's just... So Yashir got into the details of all that, but now, like, so you're saying that...
So he resurfaced this clip where you see it's the talk, and you see everyone's talking about this you know, the fiasco.
Yeah.
And you can tell everyone is sort of, you know, it's a show about women. It's sort of like The View.
Yes.
Everyone on the panel is, you know, on Janet's side. The one who's kind of, like, not really on her side, the only person is Julie Chen. Mm.
You know, it's only a matter of time. It's given me a very good idea to do an article till somebody interviews Nancy Moonves, the first wife, who he was cheating on, and probably, you know, more than she even knew.
Yes. Right? Well, that's the troubling part of Me Too as a whole, I always think to myself. So everything that's reported is what we know. So know that there's more.
Oh, there's always more.
That's what's more troubling. Like, everything we've already learned about Harvey Weinstein, just add another, like, 30%.
I think it's much
that
more.
That we haven't learned.
I think that these are men who have been in power for so long, and they've gotten away with it for so long. So it starts incrementally. And to get to the point where there's absolutely no accountability, and now you're the head of the number one network, and you have all this power and all this money.
$50 million a year for what, 10 years at least?
Oh no, he made $70 million last year. But
the thing
about it is, this isn't something that happened every once in a while. My guess is it happened all the time. And if we know of 12, my guess is the actual numbers are in the triple digits, if not more.
I was telling Joseph today, though, that I did a story for UrbanDaddy.com about interviewing women psychiatrists about why powerful men do this, knowing how it could, I mean, look, it could mess up your career.
Yes.
Even though they're incredibly powerful and nobody talked. Why wouldn't they just call a hooker, you know, or a beautiful call girl?
Seriously, though.
Because it's about power.
It's about power.
It's about power.
And it becomes a habit, too.
Well,
like
yes,
you said,
it's
addicting. Exactly.
Well, that's what you were saying, but there were other points really quickly in that you were saying in your article. So it was like she interviewed like four different psychologists about why they do, and it was like they were nerds in high school.
Getting back at women.
Getting back at women. Then it was like probably not that attractive. So abusing, like, and then what was like the third?
It was about testosterone. And when you think of why men become go to the top, it's their competitive urges. And that, you know, it's science. They've proven the fact that the men who get to the top are driven by having more testosterone. Men, okay,
I'm a little less. I'm a little apprehensive about that one. I'm a man, and I know plenty of men who would never dare do something like this.
Yeah. Of course they would. I'm not saying all.
All, but just in studies and just sort of a psychologist
it's
sort
a
of
bit of an explanation, and therefore, testosterone makes men competitive. And they obviously outcompeted everybody.
I can tell you my testosterone levels are pretty high. I've never, in a million years, would have thought.
No, thought to do that.
Would have crossed my mind. Yeah, yeah.
And so, you probably got laid when you wanted to.
I mean, look at you. Come on.
Just now. As we digress.
It's completely relevant.
Sure is. So this whole thing, though, now, the other question that remains is, there was also in the article Jeff Fager, who runs, because basically it's all about the actual culture that he's ran now at CBS, because now you're talking about all the different ranks. Jeff Fager's now been accused again.
Again. And this one is on the record now, and this right? There was an intern who said that, yes, she yes.
Yeah, apparently that culture at 60 Minutes
before
was
ugly. Before, I think it was like 19 women who had told Ronan Farrow that that women were afraid of being around him during parties because he got too drunk and handsy.
Yeah.
This one is an actual story about someone who's complaining about it, and it's coming after those 19 allegations. Right now, I think because Les Moonves is at the center of attention right now, he's a little protected by that, but not by much.
But
I don't know if he's going to survive.
That's the thing that's really been interesting about this, because Les Moonves being such a huge figure in Hollywood, that Jeff Fager has managed to stay under the radar as a footnote in the story.
It's like Jared and Trump.
That's what I'm saying.
But
it's like...
Here's the thing. And this is what I want to see. I want to see what happens next week. You remember when the first story came out?
Yeah.
And they went over to they spoke to Leslie Stahl, and Leslie
defended him.
Essentially
she
said
did?
That she essentially said that she thinks that to describe the culture at 60 Minutes as unwelcoming to women is not true. So it'll be interesting to see.
How many other women are on that show?
Exactly.
It'll be interesting to see how she has to sort of now sort of explain her defense and what she's going to say next week about
this. It still just plays into this whole thing, like, we in our jobs haven't even been at the level that these people are necessarily, like, within their networks. Like, Leslie Stahl is, like, and you're sort of like, we knew about Matt Lauer. I was, like, a lowly, like, producer at the time, and it's like, I remember being at NBC and here. Then you're telling me that these co-hosts, these women that would sit next to them on a daily basis didn't get an inkling of gossip
everyone
in their ear.
Everyone knew
that's
about
what
Harvey
saying.
Weinstein.
So that's why
everyone knew.
So when you know that as a person who's, like, an insider in Hollywood and you know better, it's only worse. It's like, don't even make a statement. Just be quiet, because you're going to have egg on your face. And, like, I want to know, like, is Julie Chen, when she said, I fully support my husband, did she really believe that? Did she not know about all of these?
I think when you're married to people, you're deep denial about how.
Yes.
To, yeah. Julie Chen was very quick to denounce other men who have been accused of sexual misconduct and saying that they should step down. But when it came to her husband, she said, "I'm only saying this once. I support my husband, and I'm not going to talk about this again." Period.
Which doesn't mean she didn't know or she doesn't think he did it.
What I want to know is, here's what I want to. I'm curious. He must have known this was going to happen. I mean, when the Me Too movement started in October, he launched this lawsuit against Sherry Redstone in May.
That's the most...
Which is like 7 months into the Me Too movement.
Yes.
What were you thinking? Or how much... how could you have... Pick
God
that time for another big battle, knowing that you
God
might be
complex.
Exposed.
It's God complex.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it gets to the point in Hollywood, and it needs to stop. It's like these
men... He was a God.
He was a God in television, right?
Yes.
For what he accomplished, and hugely powerful. But you've got to stay grounded, people. Like Harvey Weinstein, they just think that they're untouchable. Money will get them out of anything.
You know
that
what?
Donald
they
Trump.
Were
and for many years, they were.
It's like,
I think people underestimated this movement. I can tell you that when that first story came out, and Leslie Moonves And the board, remember, the board convened. It came out on a Friday, and on Monday the board convened. And when they convened after their big meeting, they came out with a statement saying he is going to stay on. Yeah. And that's all we're saying right now until the investigation is over.
Which,
and
let's everyone mention started, that the board is like predominantly male men in their white men in their 70s.
And a lot of them are less Moonves loyalists. Okay. But they were essentially saying, we're not firing him. He's going to stay on until the investigation is over. And I remember a lot of people were talking about how maybe, because it was the first time someone had been accused and weren't immediately fired or let go. And everyone was already writing, like, the obit for the Me Too movement, saying, oh, it's losing its steam, blah, blah, blah. Well, I think people are now taking that back.
Well, Time's Up, to their credit, has now come back in, because we were like, when we first launched Meet the Hollywood Press, a lot of the discussion was around, like, is that still happening? Like, is Time's Up still around? So yes. When we bring up, we do
we
have
their
the statement,
tweet.
Right?
Yeah, Alina? They actually came out this afternoon with this statement. Here's the full statement. All right. Six more women have made bone-chilling allegations of abuse, harassment, and retaliation against Les Moonves. We believed them. These new allegations are in addition to the previous six women who have already bravely spoken out and in detailed horrific behavior from Moonves. 19 current and former CBS employees also allege that former CBS News chairman Jeff Fager condones sexual harassment in his division. These allegations speak to a culture of toxic complicity at CBS, where the safety of women and continuously ignored to protect the careers of powerful men and the corporation. The CBS board of directors has an obligation to move swiftly and decisively to create safe work environment for all and rid the company of this toxic culture. CBS has
rid the company of themselves.
It's like actually rid themselves.
Let it happen.
Go, but continue, because that's interesting. Absolutely. That they're trying to say, put this board responsible for cleaning up the mess. But go ahead.
CBS, as you sit in a boardroom debating the next steps to rectify the damage done, remember that the world is watching. We will accept nothing less than full transparency of the investigation's finding, a commitment to real change across all levels of CBS management, and no reward for Les Moonves.
And by the way, Time's Up, for anyone who doesn't know, is like all of like the biggest power player women in Hollywood.
Jessica,
like
Chastain, Reese Witherspoon.
Oprah Winfrey. I mean, this is backed by...
Oh, don't
like,
forget, CAA is behind it.
Exactly.
Yeah, a lot of the agencies, which is problematic for a lot of people from the Me Too movement, because they feel like some of those agencies were very complicit in sending some of these actresses
of
to Harvey Weinstein's, you know...
Hollywood needs just a big top-to-down enema of like all of this, and mostly just the men that run it are just like
it's going through that enema. It's called Ronan Farrow.
It's like Ronan Farrow is like Robin Hood. He's like the only one that's basically been able to like change the culture of, well, but it's not changing fast enough.
Can you win two Pulitzers
now,
back-to-back? Because I think this is probably one of his second Pulitzer.
My old boss, Richard Rushfield, on Twitter and had tweeted earlier too, and he had said, oh, I'm sure now that Les Moonves is like out of power, that now all the Hollywood people that know he's not in power are going to get grandstand on. And it is true. It's like, I love it how after he's out, now
he'll
everyone,
start,
where were your
right.
balls before that, like 2 weeks ago when like you already could have drawn an opinion, or where were they years ago when you knew stuff
you
like this was
make
happening?
A comparison to the Republican Party and the Trump cabinet, that nobody's saying anything except anonymously, and that, you know, when the tide turns, they're all going to turn.
Going to turn.
I think CBS is going to have a lot of explaining to do after this, because not only did they know about those accusations because of the fact that it was investigated by the LAPD.
Yes.
And the only reason it wasn't, you know, it didn't go forward was because of the statute of limitations, which is a very sort of,
why
you know, that's
someone
not
really doing though something to like change that. Like, why isn't someone
there's
trying
been
to, like,
a lot of debate about that, especially from the Me Too movement. People were very angry about the fact that a lot of these men will be walking just because of the fact that, you know, it takes a while for we're now starting to understand sexual trauma, sexual abuse trauma, and realizing that even today, even now, after all of these men who've been toppled, including Les Moonves, there are still so many women who are afraid to come forward. It is a chilling sort of effect on someone's psyche, and I think that there's going to be a lot of debate over the statute of limitations.
Well, you know, there is this thing where when someone rapes you, abuses you, that part of your logic goes away, and you assume that you are guilty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You take that on.
Any final thoughts on Les before we move on to our next topic?
I don't believe he's getting no money.
I don't think so either.
I believe he's getting severely cut money.
I think he won't be able to get any money publicly
that we know. I think they're going to wait until even it blows if he makes, over.
I think right now the anger is so it's such a high level right now that if he gets a golden parachute, CBS will have to deal with not just the public backlash, but also lawsuits because of this.
You're
the
right.
Board will be sued as well.
I just had a thought. The Emmys are in a week.
Yeah.
Is anyone, luckily the host is not from CBS, but is this going to be addressed? Are they going to make jokes?
I can't imagine it won't be.
Yeah, of course they will. Because they made Harvey. Remember how Jimmy Kimmel started the, let's stress the elephant in the room or something? Literally.
He was very smart.
He was smart about that. They would have to.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like Corden and having like Colbert.
Especially because of the CBS.
About
I mean, CBS
network,
and
like,
the Emmys, it's not even like the Oscars where you can argue that it's TV versus, you know, movies.
I still say that I feel more disturbed by the Jeff Fager stuff because of the fact that the reporting was that he was actually trying to, a producer of a story, of a show that's supposed to be uncovering the truth, was trying to squash stories about this. Mm-hmm. That's more offensive to me. You know, Ronan, keep doing your thing.
Yeah,
and
that's
off to Ronan. Keep doing it.
Keep doing. Don't ever stop.
You probably won't.
Okay, so moving on to, it's not even fun fair. It's more like fair. So New York Fashion Week, Nicki Minaj and Cardi.
Talk about a transition.
I know. Yeah.
From Les Moonves to Nicki and Cardi, the fur was literally flying.
The Dolce was flying.
Off the runway. So, a little background. Alina, tell viewers what happened there.
All right. At the Harper's Bazaar Icon Party, Cardi B and Nicki Minaj got into a huge fight. Well, actually, Cardi did. Nicki wasn't touched.
Yes.
Nicki was just like, I'm here.
She uses her mouth as a weapon.
She does. She uses her mouth as a weapon. Yes. Cardi came out of, there's pictures of Cardi coming out of the party, being dragged out of the party with a big knot on the side of her, head, ripped dress. Yeah, and this has been boiling under for a little while. Exactly.
I mean, it's your classic case of, like, the, you know, the...
All about Eve.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Don't we have a little bit of the clip, I believe?
We do.
Yeah, let's roll a little bit of it. Then we'll come back. Okay.
You know, neither of these women have ever tried to be subtle.
No. The interesting thing, though, was like Cardi just had a fight with the security, basically. Because she was like, when she went to lunge at her, it was like she couldn't get through. It was just like a scuffle, Nicki standing there. So what was this? Merle, you had the details, but it was basically like the thing that was Cardi's red line was she spoke about her daughter and her parents.
Cardi wouldn't mention the daughter's name. Which is culture, actually, with a K.
Okay.
Because she didn't want people hearing that, but she was like,
The name is culture with a K?
Yes.
Her whole life, she's going to have to, my name is culture with a K.
Yeah. Like Caitlin with a K. But then I just ask this, as we come off a story about Me Too and how women need to be empowered, and what does this do for that movement?
Not too much.
They've always said that women in fashion could be very bitchy. Having worked in that world, I could say that. But you know what? Nicki Minaj has, you know, prompted people, goaded them, said horrible things all over the place. She has no cutoff. She has no boundaries. And her tour tanked. Her record's tanking. And she's 35. And Cardi B is 25 and on her way up.
Here's the interesting, though. Like, as I look at their followings, like, Nicki has something, I think, like 20 million followers. Cardi's got, like, 3. She had that Bodak Yellow hit. To me, though, Cardi is of this sort of generation like the Kardashians. Like, I got famous in this sort of unconventional way. I don't, and yes, people like her. They think she's good energy, but like to me, not like the role model. Whereas I think Nikki is a smarter like businesswoman. I think that she's been in control of her career and she kind of knows what she's doing. My thing about this is sort of, it's this idea like Nikki. It's not that Nikki hasn't worked with like Ariana Grande being a huge artist and she collaborates with her. She's collaborated with so many different artists, and it's sort of like, there's something there to me that, like, Cardi's lunging at her. I don't remember Nikki having, like, any physical altercations or being threatened to work with other women that are successful. So that's where that doesn't track for me, that it's just, like, a Nikki jealousy thing. It's like it doesn't track.
Well, you know,
track.
The whole thing basically started on social media, and there's so much of people that age going to war with each other on social media.
Yeah.
It's, and a lot
Can
of it
someone
looks
explain
like,
this to me? I mean, you're famous. You're rich.
So much money. Exactly.
You have everything you've ever... What
Not
are you doing
it.
Getting into a fight in the middle of an event while cameras are on you? I mean, my eyes can't roll far enough.
But think about this. How much more publicity have they gotten?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the other question, is how much of this is really for that purpose and how much of this is actually
Could
real?
Could you imagine if it's like both, they just staged this all and they're like laughing to each other about it? Who
knows?
Yeah,
this was Reese Witherspoon or some good girl role model, you'd say, how could they act that way? But these are two ferocious diva crazies who curse in their songs, show their butts.
Like, it's on brand. It's very
on brand
for Cardi.
It is on brand.
There's not going to be any backlash for Cardi. I mean, she just came out with a lipstick for Tom Ford. You know, there is no backlash. This is on brand. When you sign up to do something with her, you know what you're getting. You know? But yeah, I mean, they've actually collabed on a song for Migos that dropped earlier this year. So.
And wasn't that the whole thing, though, that like Nikki feels like she's not
she
showing
didn't get
her.
Any love.
Yeah, she's not showing her love. But I don't disagree with that.
Someone needs to track all the downloads both of them are going to have over the next few days to see how that's going to play out.
How much do you think this is fan made up, just fans kind of fueling the fire, because they do go off on social media, right?
Like the barbs.
So does it exactly? I'm wondering if it just gets to these egos' heads and then they start going on.
Taylor Swift have a huge social media fight with somebody? Kim Kardashian? I don't remember.
Well, Katy Perry.
Katy Perry,
they made up now.
I can sleep well at night.
It's like if Katie and
Taylor Swift and Katy Perry friends again. Oh my god.
Okay, I can feel us all getting dumber by the minute. So let's
IQ points.
Yeah. Moving on to something actually an uplifting Hollywood story. Well, it didn't start that way. So Cosby Show actor this week, Jeffrey Owens, was the photo surfaced on a site that should remain nameless for this purpose, because
Shame them. Fox
fine.
News, yeah. Daily yeah. Mail, and there was one more, Radar Online. All three of them should be ashamed of themselves.
Shame themselves. They put pictures. He was working in Trader Joe's. He was on the show in Cosby's from like the late 80s to like early 90s.
Five seasons.
This poor guy's working at Trader Joe's trying to earn a living, and they're shaming him for it. Now, this is where a beautiful thing happened. Hollywood sort of came to his rescue. And so, just let's talk about this, because this is, again, plays into the journalism. Like, where do the lines get drawn? Like, I know as an editor of a site, I couldn't put a story
I have to tell you, I saw that story as it popped up on Fox News. So, I happened to be up. It was like 7:30 in the morning. I'm seeing this tweet, and I'm thinking, oh, boy, this is so bad. I can't believe anyone did this.
Yeah.
And I remember having a discussion with the editor, because I sent her the story saying, you should probably pay attention to this. She's already seen it. She was on top of it. But we were discussing on whether what to do with it, and I said, I think it's already out there. It's going to be a big story.
Yeah.
There was already starting to be some backlash, which I love. So we went with a backlash against Fox News, which sort of, I thought, mitigated a bit what Fox News did. I happened to speak with Jeffrey Owens this week. I can tell you, one of the nicest people I've ever had the pleasure.
So nice.
So
and wearing
nice.
His Trader Joe badge in every interview.
It was so heartbreaking to just see that whole thing. And then this is the beautiful part of it. Tyler Perry then stepped up and offered him a job.
Yeah.
And
the latest, he took.
And he took it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like when you're like, we need more stories.
And
like
Nicki Minaj also came out and said she wanted to donate. I doubt that he's going to take it because one of the first things that he said.
So does that mean Cardi's going to give 35K?
Oh, Lord. But you
just
know
stir
what?
In the pot. Talk about elitists. You know, the woman who took that picture was just nobody shopping in Trader Joe's.
We should mention that she said that she regretted having done it. She wasn't thinking.
She got shamed on social
and
media.
That Jeffrey Owens has said that he told me that he not only has forgiven her, that in a way he felt pity for her in a way, which
good
I think
for,
yeah.
Good for him.
Oh, I want to tell you a great story. So I asked him. What was his first
is this
reaction?
Live already on the site, by the way?
Yeah.
For people to read.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So check out his article.
Yeah,
at
it's
the
on
therap.com. Yeah. Okay,
a really nice interview with him. I asked him what his first reaction was when he saw that Fox News story. Because it had been on the Daily Mail, but no one had picked it up. When Fox News picked it up, it became a big story.
Yeah.
Owned by Murdoch.
Oh, the first thing he said he did was reach out to his son, his 19-year-old son. To say, I'm so sorry if I embarrassed you. I hope you're okay. And his son gave him the most beautiful response, responded back saying, I couldn't be prouder of you for taking that job. And he was telling me that story, choking back tears, and I was choking back my tears as I was hearing the story.
Yeah. People think that anyone who was ever famous on a TV show is a star forever, has a huge house. That is so not true.
No, it's not true.
And I think this started a really important conversation in Hollywood because everyone in Hollywood immediately chimed in and started telling their own stories of having to make ends meet while trying to make it in Hollywood. And I think he started talking about the idea that we sort of elevate people according to their jobs, that some jobs are better than other jobs, when in fact, I think it's the most honorable thing you can do.
Dignity
to take a job, pay the bill, and he did it to take care of his family.
Exactly. Yeah. We actually have a tweet for somebody in Hollywood who chimed in to come to his defense. This is from, if we could pull it up, Latavia Robertson. She was one of the
original Destiny's Child.
So could you imagine?
I love that you know that.
Yeah.
And she's probably had to take some jobs after Destiny's
Child.
So she
said, I understand Jeffrey Owens. After I was removed from the group, I ended up working at a little record shop, I think in Acres Homes. People used to come in just to see if it was really me. However, I still had to feed my family and survive. So clap, clap, clap to him for not giving up.
You know, it's interesting. I asked him because he'd been working at Trader Joe's for 15 months before someone took his picture. And I said to him, you must have known this was going to happen. I mean, you were on the Cosby Show for 5 years. And he said every day he was worried that someone was going to do that. And he had no idea that this woman had taken the picture. So I asked him if he knew, if he had seen the woman take a picture. He said, no, I had no idea.
So
but I was
evil.
Worried every day that someone might do that to him.
I don't know what's more evil, the girl that took the picture or the publications that ran it.
I'm going
with the publication.
The girl has an excuse. At least she wasn't thinking, even though I don't know why she wasn't.
Did she try to get paid? That's my question. Did she do this for money?
I guess.
I don't know.
If she gave it to the Daily Mail.
Also important to note, though, to people, too, that the reason also that he was suffering because of Bill Cosby not being able to keep it in his pants. The royalties of the Cosby Show are all screwed up now because no one wants to touch that show and run it.
The show was pulled off the air some networks started pulling it off the air, 2 years ago, and then the last ones in the last year or so. And he said that yes, that was definitely a factor.
You
the check stopped coming in
on that money. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I love the ending to this.
Yep.
Props to Tyler Perry.
Yeah.
And Nicki, if she gets that check to him.
I always heard amazing things about Tyler Perry.
It's like that whole Oprah.
Here's the thing about Nicki, and I think that offer was very generous, but the man has already said he didn't want charity. If you want to help him out,
give him a job.
But he said, I don't want to get jobs unless I audition for them and I've earned them. Offer him an audition. That's what I think should
happen. Feels like that would be like if someone smart in Hollywood started some kind of organization that like sort of helped actors of like a different time, like that are struggling, that feels like there's a real market there to do something.
Yeah, because a lot of these actors, yeah. Here's the thing. I did a whole story. I think we did the story together.
Yeah.
We did a whole story about stars who have made millions and have fallen on hard times.
Like
and
Nicole Eggert. We spoke to Nicole.
Yeah. Remember?
Yeah.
Charles in Charge. Who was the actor?
Willie Ames.
Yes. Yeah. Willie Ames. We spoke to Willie Ames, who, you know, was making some serious cash during Charles in Charge.
Yeah.
And then at some point made a bad investment and found himself sleeping on the street. And had with $5 in his pocket, nowhere to go. And he told me that this happens all the time. You know, people make bad investments. All these people come out of the woodwork trying to, you know, turn them on to these investments, trying to make their money off these people. And a lot of them don't know how to handle their
cash. Well, God bless.
And sometimes their business managers steal a lot of money from them, as we know.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's true. Okay, well, we love the ending to that story. We really do. So that being said, Overheard Hollywood. What are you guys hearing out there? Something you want to tell our viewers or listeners?
I'm working on a big Me Too story, so hopefully...
You want to break it here? Aitai, tell us.
I can't tell you what it is, but I can tell you that I've been working on it for 2 months.
Okay.
More than 2 months now. Almost 3 months.
Okay.
It's going to be a great story. The only thing is it might be pushed back now because of the homeless movements. Just to give it some if it doesn't happen next week, check it out the week after.
Well, the Les Moonves will have more developments by the time we go to check our...
For sure.
You know, it's like minute to minute. And how about you, Merle?
I'm doing two stories. One of them is on the Emmy parties. So I can tell you that the theme of HBO's Emmy party, which is the biggest party of Emmy season and the biggest party that HBO gives. Is Garden of Eden, so maybe people want to show up naked. This gives you an idea of the range of my career. I'm doing a story on a new book that's going to come out on the 18th, and I know the New York Times has the first story on it. Mine will be on the Robb Report, and it's by an author named Wednesday Martin, who wrote The Predators of Park Avenue? She wrote a book about women on Park Avenue and their deals with their husbands, and, you know, basically... No, it was... sociological. She's a doctor of sociology.
Yeah.
Anyway, this book, which she researched for 2 years, is called Untrue, and it's everything you didn't know about female sexuality. So while we're talking about men abusing women, this is about how women's natural urge is not to be monogamous. So this book is going to get a lot of talk.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. Okay, got it. Alina, would you like to tell everybody where they could find us?
Of course, absolutely. You guys can watch us on the AfterBuzz TV YouTube channel. You can also subscribe to the Meet the Hollywood podcast on Apple Podcasts. Rate it, give us, you know, good reviews, all of that. We love it. Also, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Meet the Hollywood Press and on Twitter at Meet the HWD Press.
And give us $25,000.
That about wraps it up for us. Come back next week, Sunday, because Emmys are Monday, so we're going to be talking all Emmys next Sunday, on the eve of the big awards. And thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.